new wrestling world order. That is the name of this show. That is the name of this organization that is now going to lead the new wave of the IWC internet wrestling community. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your faithful leader, Dietrich Davis, the measuring stick and the end-all and be-all of the future of professional wrestling. My job today is to enlighten your mind and present to you just a different way to look at things, an objective perspective on professional wrestling. Let's say that. An objective perspective on sports entertainment. That's my job, ladies and gentlemen. And here today, we're going to talk about the art of losing in professional wrestling. And why sometimes it is the most meaningless things, and at other times, it is the most important things. I, Dietrich Davis, will be presenting this to you today. My co-host, Mark Morrell, as you know, it's Christmas time. He's away with the family. He's taking care of business out there down in the deep south. But up here in New York City, the show doesn't stop. We got to put work in. And if you leave it up to me, you would get 30 episodes a month of the business of professional wrestling, which I'm giving you through the New World Wrestling Order. New Wrestling World Order, excuse me, for fucking my own shit up. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about eating the pin, losing. I'm seeing a lot on Reddit and on Twitter and on YouTube and people complaining about this wrestler. All he does is lose. The last time he had a win on television, this was this. The last time they ever got pinned was this, that, and the other. And it creates this very unique centrifuge of emotional war and tactics, because you're flying so high off of having what you want that you're not allowing a story to be told to you. You know, getting pinned in professional wrestling, it's one of the greatest things that can happen to a wrestler. Like I said, when it's done right. And this is the moment where you go, well, you just said wins and losses don't count. But sometimes they do. And presenting a win and loss scenario changes according to the character, the story, and the other person who's pinning the individual. And I want you guys to sit back and think about what I'm saying to you. But at the same time, I want you to open your brains and allow this information to flow through so that you yourself can start possibly enjoying wrestling from an objective perspective, and also enjoying professional wrestling from a freer perspective. That's my job today, ladies and gentlemen. Fuck with your boy. I got something for you. You know, I want you to look at it like this. You know, the purpose of a pin, when you think about it, is to get to the end of a story. It's to give you the reason why we must fight again. Or to tell you this is about to be the greatest motherfucker you have ever seen of all time. You know, the pin to me, and let me slow it down for you. The pin is one of the most masterful things that can happen in a wrestling match. It's letting you know that you're passing a torch and that we're putting the other wrestler over. Let's go back Monday Night Raw 1993 or whatever it was. 1-2-3 Kid, a.k.a. X-Pac, versus Razor Ramon. No one expected the 1-2-3 Kid to win at the Manhattan Center. And here's this smaller guy, and he's putting on this fucking match. And here's Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon, putting in his work. And at the end, he gets the pin. And in the midst of that pin, a star was born. You didn't expect him to pin him. You wasn't counting wins and losses. You already counted the 1-2-3 Kid out. But within that 7 to 10 minutes, he was capable or maybe longer. I don't remember the time limit of the match. Ask Dave fucking Meltzer. Whatever stars he might have given it. That don't mean shit. When that pin takes place, you sit back and go, holy shit, a star is born. Because they were able to give the audience something they need. It was David and Goliath, the greatest story ever told, written in the greatest story ever told, the Bible. It was David and Goliath. And here he is. This was Cain and Abel in a sense. And here he is. This little guy is coming in and he's going. And you know the big guy could whip ass, but you don't like the big guy. So you want to watch the little guy whip the big guy's ass. And the big guy took the fall. And the little guy gets the pin. And 1, 2, and 3. And the 1, 2, 3 kid becomes one of the most famous wrestlers in the world because of this. He was a fucking star. It didn't matter if he won and lost any other match. You can't even tell me any. And you probably can when you get in your Googles, or you might remember one or two matches, but his greatest accomplishment was pinning Razor Ramon. Razor Ramon's one of his greatest accomplishments was getting pinned by the 1-2-3 kid. And that is what a pin is supposed to do when you're on the losing side and when you're on the winning side. It told us, look out for this guy. It told us we can like him. And Scott Hall didn't lose no momentum, speed, pay, or presentation at any point in his life at that moment in time. The goal is to breed stars. And the goal is to create torches, is to take the torch and pass it on every fucking scale. Imagine if that was for the Intercontinental title. And the 1-2-3 kid took the IC championship. Imagine if it was on that level. If you wanted to put a little bit more stink on that. That's the part where it tells you this is the beginning of a story or the end of the story. In this case, it was the beginning of a story. And the story was the 1-2-3 kid. And that's the part people forget about. That's the part. It allows the crowd to activate a level of passion they didn't know they had for a person they didn't even fucking know. That's greatness, ladies and gentlemen. It put them over. The torch that was handed over was, look out for him, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one. And you got to respect that. You got to love it. You got to enjoy it. Let's look at Roman Reigns for a minute. But before we get to Roman Reigns, let's really dive into the mountain of this. Look what a pin did for Vince McMahon when it came to the Survivor Series. Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. You know what that pin did? That pin told us it didn't make Shawn Michaels the man. It just made us look at him as a shitty person. But it made Bret Hart a superstar. Imagine if Bret Hart would have just walked out in WCW the next night. Do you know the standing ovation he would have given? Do you know the real edge? He waited a year, and yes, his brother passed away not too long after that. But what if Bret Hart just would have walked out after that false pin to him in Survivor's, the 1997 Survivor Series? Oh my God, he would have gotten a standing ovation. That would have been the real win over Vince McMahon. But we got the character Vince McMahon. We got the heel Vince McMahon. So once again, a pin created a future story to tell. We can't even trust our owner. And what did I say at the beginning of this podcast? The purpose of the pin is to give a reason why we fight. And it made Stone Cold a greater face, a greater anti-hero and hero in the face of the madness, Vince McMahon, because he screwed over Bret Hart and he would do anything to protect his company. And the next person who could not be champion, remember the storyline of Stone Cold Steve Austin from late 97 into early 1998. It was, we cannot let him become champion of this company. He will destroy everything that we built. And the crowd loved him. To me, it should have been Stone Cold and Bret Hart at WrestleMania 40. But that is what that is. I digress. But when you look at this motherfucker, when you look at this scenario, when you look at this presentation, when Stone Cold pinned good old-fashioned Shawn Michaels and got him the fuck out of here, we knew Steve Austin was the man. We couldn't wait for Monday night. We waited for the glass to break, and Austin came down to the ring and was presented with that beautiful new WWE champion, where at the time World Wrestling Federation championship, with the big blue alligator skin strap made by Jamar, the belt maker at the time. Oh my God, that shit was crazy. The shit was crazy, ladies and gentlemen. We had to respect it. We had to understand it. We had to realize what we were going after, what was being presented to us. Now sit back and think that through when you really want to look at it. Sit back and think it through. From the pen of Bret Hart's false pin by Shawn Michaels and Triple the rap of the hands going and Vince McMahon saying, ring the bell, damn it. All of that created the greatness of the Vince McMahon character. Let's not talk about the man, the character that we saw in the ring. The extension of the shrewd businessman, the extension of the fuck 'em. And I protect my company on all costs. They were able to win for 2-3 years after that based off of that character's creation because of the loss. Being in the perfect place may not have been under the right causes, but being in the perfect place, it was amazing. You gotta respect it. Fast forward to Steve Austin winning the world championship, it put him in a position. Look at Goldberg, 1998, Georgia Dome. He gets the opportunity to pin Hulk Hogan. Not on pay-per-view, live on television on a Monday night. And there's Goldberg holding the belt up. He might not have at the time understood how important that pin was. But that pin told us, it finalized that Goldberg was here. What does a pin do? It furthers the story that you are trying to tell. As it ends another story or tell you why we come back to fight again. In Goldberg's cause, it gave us the story. It wasn't that Goldberg, forget the streak. Goldberg was the man even though the streak was bent on it. Look how many wrestlers had to eat the pin in important matches to get Goldberg to the undefeated streak. That's what we're forgetting. That's what we're not understanding. But when Goldberg got pinned, instead of him being an asshole and not understanding you're going to lose matches, that's the business of wrestling. When Kevin Nash won that streak, the emotional outcry of, oh my fucking God. For some people, they were happy Goldberg lost it. But at the same time, that can lead to doing something greater. So when Kevin Nash pinned him after his homeboy hit him with the fucking cattle prod, and here comes Nash with the pin, oh my God. The next night is the streak was ended, ladies and gentlemen. They stole it from him. If they were smarter, they could have told a greater story. I guarantee you, if you give Eric Bischoff a little bit more time and to rethink that ending, he would still take the belt off of Goldberg at that time. But then, 2 weeks later or a week later, him and Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan gets in the ring, and they do the finger poke of doom. And I want to call all of you fucking wrestling fans out on that, being upset over the finger poke of doom. I'm going to call some of you motherfuckers out in the IWC about getting upset about the finger poke of doom. Because not too long ago, Shawn Michaels and Triple H did the finger poke of doom type storyline before the NWO for the European Championship on Monday Night Raw, and y'all cheered and loved it. That's DX for you. But you get upset when Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan made it a major story. You know what that did? That made it look like, oh my God, Hogan is the master manipulator. You know what it makes it look like? Gang wars. Anything for the NWO, brother. Anything for the colors. I grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, New York. If you was in the gang, you did it for the colors. I had a good portion of my family live in L.A. They'll let you know. You do it for the colors. That shit on schoolyard. That's on schoolyard. Which, what set you claim? Where you from? State your business, homie. And sometimes you got to take one for the team. Kevin Nash took the world bullet to the chest. Boom, he down on the ground. Finger poke of doom. We get up and celebrate a big dog. You the man. If this was a motorcycle club, you bring your winnings back to the club for the president of the motorcycle club to tell you good job. Thank you for bringing that back to me. That's gang shit. That's what they did. That's why I felt so disrespectful. But that pen gave us a reason to continue the story of the NWO. Brought together the red and the black. And the black and the white brought the colors back together. Yeah, I'm talking on some gang shit. Not really, but really. That's the purpose and the beauty of a pen. That's something you got to understand. That's something you got to love. That's something you got to process. That's something you got to want to enjoy. Go back and watch it. It wasn't as bad as Goldberg made it out the seam. It ain't as bad as some of the other YouTubers in the past made it out the seam. It actually was a beautiful thing. It gave Goldberg a reason to fight again, the purpose of a pen. One of the many things I just broke down to you in this podcast. Oh, this is education time, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all out there in the IWC fucked around, so now you're gonna find out. Getting pinned is one of the losing of a wrestler is one of the most amazing things. You can have a wrestler that you loses 100 matches in a row. If he gets one pin, you cheer for him. Whether you want it to continue or not, you're so happy. It's like Ric Flair. Every time he went to the top rope, you said, oh my God. And then when he finally got the elbow drop, when he finally got the axe handle smash off on Carlito, you cheered. Because we knew for 20, almost 30 years, Ric Flair and the top rope ain't good friends. You know the move is he's going to go over there and you're going to pull him off. That's how it works. It's beautiful. It's one of those things. And now let's get to Roman Reigns. This is why Roman Reigns holding the world title is important. It's very important right now in wrestling that record keeps getting broken. Because when he's pinned, it's going to tell us that next wrestler is the man. Look at MJF. He's going on a year with the AEW championship. When he gets pinned, it's going to tell us whoever pins him, that wrestler is the man. Let's jump in our little way back machine while we at it. Let's look at Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos, WrestleMania 39, night one, main event. That you could not tell who was going to get pinned. You picked your favorite to get pinned. You picked your favorite to want to win. I wanted the Usos to win. I know wrestling's fake. I know it's sports entertainment. I know it's a simulated fight. But for me, I wanted a certain type of storytelling. And you wanted a certain type of storytelling. You might have been one of the ones who wanted Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to win. Or you could have been the ones who, like myself, who wanted the Usos to win. But that match, every false count meant something. This was the culmination of the end of a story of the belts being held up by this evil faction that no one can stop. This bloodline that has dominated the business of professional wrestling since the business of professional wrestling between the WWE and the Samoan dynasty. This was stripping down a legacy. This mob boss, this the Roman Reigns, who's half Italian and half Samoan. This mob boss. When they won the tag team championships, you brought the gold back to the boss. And if you know your history of the mob boss didn't pay you out. You paid him for being the fucking leader. This is why they went around and harassed all the businesses. This is where they went around and robbing and stealing and selling drugs and selling whatever they can. Because whatever they got from the take, you had to pay the boss. You brought the boss dinner. You brought the boss the gold. You brought the boss the money. And then he says to you, this is for you. If you ain't show no appreciation to the boss, then kill yourself. That is the beauty of understanding the pen. And when you're in a faction, you bringing the gold home to the boss. Go get me my gold, baby. Go get me my tag team championships. So when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn pinned the Usos, that pin was so important. Go back and watch it. It's a deep belly emotional chair and roar. Because we got to see these men be dethroned. And it was the ending of the story. And it made the bloodline look weak. And then the breakdown continues in the bloodline. And so on and so on and so on and so on. That's one of the greatest what that did for tag team wrestling was put it back on the map when everybody thought it fell off. That was a beautiful thing in wrestling, what we saw at night one. But at night two, we see Roman Reigns get another pin. The year before that, we saw him stack him and pin him. We saw one side, we saw the breakdown of a dynasty. And on the other side, we saw the dominance of a boss, of a mobster, of a gangster. And the mob boss seems to always get away. But then they'll do something and they'll end up dead or in jail. Ask John Gotti, dead in jail. Ask Bubsy. Ask all of these famous mob bosses that are no longer with us if you could. You get so big till eventually you gotta fall. Some of us, the rain on top is shorter than leprechauns. And for some of us, the rain on top lasts a generation. Roman Reigns is a generational champion. When he gets pinned, it will be one of the greatest things in wrestling history. It ends his streak of holding the world championship, the WWE World and WWE Universal Championships. It's still two championships in one, ladies and gentlemen. It shows that passes, and that will tell us it's the man. I don't even think Roman should lose at this WrestleMania. I still think he should fight CM Punk at this WrestleMania. And I think he should go over on CM Punk. Night two, main event of night two, but the main event of the whole show, of the whole weekend. That pin is very important. Whoever pins MJF, if they do it right, they will become a historical wrestling figure. Because that pin will mean I live to fight again another day. That pin can be the passing of the torch. That pin can be an ending of a story. And that pin can simply mean this is one of the greatest things we've ever seen. Imagine the eruption of the crowd. I'm going to take you further back in your way back machine early in the ECW days. Rob Van Dam walked around undefeated for almost 2 or 3 years. When Rob Van Dam finally got pinned by Jerry Lynn, if I'm correct, the eruption and that building went fucking crazy. When Taz got pinned and he said, whoever pins me, I'll hand over the ECW championship, and I'll shake their hand in the middle of that ring. And when he handed the belt and shook the hand, it was one of the dopest moments we ever saw. when Hulk Hogan got pinned by Ultimate Warrior, whether it lasts long or not, when Hogan handed the belt to him, that meant everything. It was the ending of a story and the passing of a torch. Where that torch went is another conversation for another day. But you guys understand the importance of that. It told us it meant something. It solidifies journeys. It starts wars. It tells us that this has ended. A pen has ended careers and started careers. It has told us that we are about to watch the greatest thing of all time. That's why if you still got comic books, Batman can never kill the Joker. Because if it kills him, Batman can truly never be Batman beyond that point. And the Joker can never kill the Batman because he will go into a coma and a silent state because he has no purpose to fight. And sometimes not getting a pin is the best thing that can happen. We should embrace this Roman Reigns streak. We should hope he makes it another WrestleMania. A lot of people don't agree with that. But when he gets pinned, oh my God, it is going to be amazing. When MJF gets pinned, oh my God, it is going to be amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, the wrestling business is not about the moves in the ring. It's about making sure that you tell stories that have a beginning and an ending. And that pin represents the beginning and the ending. This is the new Wrestling World Order. Dietrich Davis, out.